Well, good morning. One thing, if you don't know this about me, is I'm a morning person. God has created me in such a way that I don't really like to be up past 10 p.m., and I really can't stay up past 10 p.m. And I'm at the age, like, if you're like, hey, what are you doing tomorrow evening? I'm going to ask you, what time is evening? Not just to make sure I'm okay, like I'm free, but because I want to know, am I going to be back home in enough time to get to bed by 10 o'clock? That's the age I am. But I will say this, since I'm a morning person, I could meet you about as early as you want to meet. And here lately, I could meet you as early as 4 a.m. because I'm up anyway. So all kidding aside, I do love mornings. They're typically quiet. People are sleeping. Animals are sleeping. I have dreams of retiring somewhere where I have a great view of just watching the sunrise. Right, where I can sit on my porch or maybe look out a window. I can drink my coffee. I can pray. I can read my Bible and just watch the sun come up. A few years ago, I was traveling for coaching. I'm in this coaching network. And this particular time, we were in Florida near a beach. So I, of course, scoured the internet for the best deal and found this efficiency about two or three blocks away from the beach. And as I alluded to, I don't sleep well at night. And when I travel, it's even worse. This particular morning, I woke up really early, well before the sun was going to come up, so I made a cup of coffee, I grabbed my Bible, and I took the stroll towards the beach. And on this journey, which I've been to before, I've been around this area in the daytime, there was no cars on the street, no traffic, like everybody was asleep. The paths to the beach weren't illuminated real well, and as I walked through this small grouping of trees, I found myself a little uneasy walking in the dark. I'd walked, again, that general area, getting something to eat during the day, but since it was dark, I was a little uneasy. I didn't really know exactly where this small grouping of trees were going to lead me in this path. But once I made it through that group of trees, and I found this open space, and the beach was there, and the ocean was there, that fear really dissipated. So I found this empty chair that I later learned that you're supposed to rent, but I was there well before people were going to collect money. I just sat there just listening to the waves crash the shoreline. And after several minutes, you could see the sun begin to wake up, and I snapped this picture. Isn't it beautiful? It's like looking through a stained glass window. That's the picture. You can see my feet, actually. Just now noticed that. Hopefully I clipped my toenails. But you could see the sun beginning to wake up. And as I saw the light begin to peek over the expansion of the water, I was reminded of God's goodness. His mercies are new every single morning, and I was grateful just to take in that moment. Grateful for the tribe of pastors that I now call friends in this coaching network. Grateful for my wife, my kids, what I get to do for a living, just really the life that I had, just be able to sit there. There's something spiritual about watching the sunrise. It's something emotional that happens. It's awe-inspiring when you have a view like that. So as I processed and I prayed, I let my mind kind of drift away wherever God wanted to take it, and I'd occasionally look up, and I would look back at the sun rising and snap a few pictures to capture the moment. And then a few minutes later, the sun penetrated the darkness, and once what was something that was uneasy about the darkness now gave way to this light, and it brought this calm, hope, and excitement for the day. And this is the other picture that I snapped. Just beautiful. And there's hardly a single soul out. And I'm not sure I'll be lucky enough to have that kind of view most days, when I retire. But I can tell you this much. I'll do whatever I can when I do have those opportunities, when those opportunities present themselves, to just sit in the moment. See, that's the thing about light and darkness. Light defeats darkness every single time. Even the darkest of nights don't stand a chance against the rising of the sun and the arrival of another day. When light penetrates darkness, it changes everything. The mornings are just new every morning. The light comes no matter how dark it is. It doesn't matter how long the night is. The sun will rise. And this morning, we're going to see just how true that is. But before we do, will you pray with me? God, just thanks. Thanks for today. Thanks for the sun rising one more day. That the darkness has passed, and your mercies are new today. So we invite you in. Come right now by the power of your Holy Spirit. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning. My name is Andy. If I've failed to introduce myself. I'm one of the pastors here. If this is your first time joining us, again, special thanks to you. Thanks for coming. We are in a series called I Am, where we're looking at the seven I Am statements that Jesus makes in the Gospel of John. The first four books of the New Testament simply tell the story of the life of Jesus. They're called the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And John, who writes this, he starts his gospel with this big picture perspective. He begins his account with the words that began Scripture in Genesis, all the way back at the beginning of time. And he says this, "In the beginning was the Word." John takes us back to these opening words of Genesis, the first book in the Bible, and reminds us that Jesus isn't this new idea. He's been there from the very beginning. And John is declaring that God the Father, in his supremacy, has sent a sound wave reverberating through time that's still heard and felt today. This sound wave, of course, is the Word of God. It's his Son, Jesus, and it's his Spirit. He's reminding us that God the Father is making his kingdom known to everyone. The Word made flesh, as John is referring to, using those words from Genesis, is Jesus himself. And if you're following along on our reading plan, which you'll find in those great journals out in the hallway, if you don't have one, make sure you grab one, you'll read the seven I Am statements. You'll also read the seven miracles that Jesus performs in the Gospel of John. Every miracle that Jesus would perform would clearly indicate to everybody in that community, everybody that was around, that Jesus was saying and revealing that he was God. He was the I Am. As a matter of fact, Jesus performs five of those miracles, as we talked about last week, before the very first I Am statement. Those five miracles are Jesus turning water into wine, the healing of the nobleman's son, the healing of the lame man, the feeding of the 5,000, and Jesus walking on water, all preceded the very first I Am statement. And with each miracle, Jesus connects the dots for who he is. Last week, the I Am statement we looked at, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." And if you missed it, I encourage you to go back and watch it or listen to it. This week, we're going to see Jesus declaring that he is the light of the world. And as we talked about, light penetrates darkness. And when it does, it changes everything. Light exposes what was once hidden, and so does Jesus. Nothing is hidden from his sight. He sees all. He knows all. And before we read the I Am statement where Jesus declares that he is the light of the world, let me kind of set the stage for us. When you read through the Gospel of John and you get ready to read the second I Am statement, Jesus and his disciples have just attended the Feast of the Tabernacles. This is a celebration, and it commemorated the faithfulness of God with Israel through the 40 years in the desert when they wandered. During those years, God stayed with his people, and the book of Exodus describes the time of exile and God's faithful hand during the exit. Let's read it for ourselves. It says, "By day, the Lord went ahead of them, the Israelites, in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night, in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar or the cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people, so they could see where God was directing by day or by night, by a cloud or by fire. Lamps at the Feast of Tabernacles that they had just finished celebrating were lit as representatives to remind them of the pillar of clouds and the fire that accompanied the Israelites on their journey." This is what they're celebrating. Lights were central to this feast, serving as a clear reminder of the exodus into the promised land. As the celebrated feast was growing to an end, coming to a close, and this remembrance was being extinguished until next year when they celebrated all over again, Jesus then makes this bold proclamation that he is the light of the world. He says in John chapter 8, verse 12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So to declare this statement at this moment, after the Feast of the Tabernacles, is to say, I am the fulfillment of the Old Testament Exodus promised land. I am, he's saying, your provider, your protector, your leader. This is the timing he says this. The timing of his statement is as weighty as the statement itself. Jesus is the fulfillment, the culmination of the lights described throughout the generations of Judaism. This, along with the other six I Am statements in John, is massive in proportion. As author and apologist John Blanchard said, he said, Christ's statements are either cosmic or comic. And we see this theme, this impact, and the importance of light throughout Scripture. For example, when Jesus arrives on the scene here on earth, he does so with a light show. When the shepherds in the nearby field are told about the Messiah's arrival, a radiant glow of hosts of angels appears. The radiant glow of a host of angels is so bright in this dark night that their first words, the angels' first words are, "Do not be afraid." Later, the wise men from afar are guided to the nativity by the light of a star in the east. And these examples alone, we see God likes to kick things off with a light show. The creation of the world, the Israelites' exodus from Egypt, and the birth of Jesus all begin with light. Darkness, on the other hand, obscures our vision, and things are not as they seem. But the light that God offers us in Jesus is better than full understanding in dark times. With the light of Jesus, the path ahead can be revealed so that we can live it. And there's great joy and hope and light. See, there isn't really any such thing as darkness. Darkness is actually just the absence of light. Darkness stands no chance against the advancement of light. It actually flees from it. And since that is true, this means that everyone who lives outside of the light can still receive light, no matter what darkness they're living in. We love to hear this, but sometimes when we know somebody personal or we've heard stories, this can actually seem a bit unfair, maybe even irrational at times. When God rescues someone who's been living a life of sin, deceit, violence, destruction, you know, the person that's taken advantage of a child or forced their way physically on another person, those that have killed, that have lied, taken advantage of, used or abused, and everything in between can still accept, see, and be living in the light of Jesus. And that's what the gospel is. That's the good news that he offers. The gospel is the story of redemption from the first page of Scripture to the last. All he does is redeem. He seeks out our heart and even to those that are running aggressively away from him. We see this in the book of Acts with the apostle Paul, that in the book of Acts he's known as Saul until God changes his name. Saul is the person who persecuted, witnessed, and ordered the killing of people, specifically those that called themselves followers of the way or followers of Jesus. You can read it for yourself in Acts chapter 9 later. And you know how he makes himself known to Saul? With a flash of light from heaven. And that sudden light changes Paul forever. Walking in the light of Jesus changes us. Following and believing in Jesus brings sanctification, which is a really churchy word for becoming more like Jesus. With change comes a desire to follow, then obey God's word and his spirit and his son. But not so in darkness. Darkness, again, it clouds our vision. Even if we're standing in an open field and there are mountains, beautiful mountains in the horizon, we can't see it in darkness. Darkness conceals what is so beautiful, and it confuses our understanding of what's actually real. The sunrise is the beginning of a new day. It's also the end of a long, dark night. Light brings clarity. Psalms 119 reminds us of this. It says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path." A lamp would be used to bring clarity to the path so that you wouldn't trip and you wouldn't fall. In the Gospel of Matthew, we again are told the importance of light. It says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Just as our physical eyes have to receive light to process what's going on, what's before us, the same is true with the eyes of our heart. Victory of darkness begins with focus. We're either focused on the things of light or we're focused on the things of darkness, and we have choices to make each and every day of which one we're going to focus on. Will we choose the lighted path to victory or the shadows of deception? Shadows are dangerous, especially when we don't realize that the light is even changing. We can get used to the shadow. Shadows can sneak up on us. They might even allow us to still be able to see. Shadows can come in the form of, you know, white lies that we tell, or lust in the form of the extra glance or look, or the pause on the picture when we're scrolling through our phone. Shadows can come in the form of jealousy instead of joy, selfish decisions over desires to be generous. These are all examples of shadows, frustrations instead of gratitude. It takes focus, it takes purpose, and the light of Jesus to recognize when we've stepped into the shadows and out of the light. One thing you'll notice about focused people is focused people who live in the light do not dabble in the dark and call it okay. Jesus called himself the light of the world on the heels of rescuing a woman from a life of adultery. She was living in darkness and caught in the act. There were no possible excuses, no possible explanations for her behavior. And standing in the middle of the temple courts, the naked woman finds herself at the mercy of this hateful crowd. And the people there look to Jesus. They're telling Jesus what happened to determine this woman's fate, which legally could be stoned to death. I mean, just imagine that. Insert yourself into the story, not just witnessing it. What if you were on trial and that possible punishment was just being pelted over and over with a bunch of rocks? Be horrific. But this is what this woman is potentially facing. Jesus sees the woman, he hears the case, and then he replies. Let's read it for ourselves. It says, when they kept on questioning him, when the crowd, the Pharisees, were questioning Jesus, he straightened up, Jesus did, and said to them, let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. Again, he stooped down and begins to write on the ground again. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until Jesus was only left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No one, sir, she said. Then neither do I condemn you, Jesus said. Now go and leave your life of sin. Jesus confronts the crowd. The crowd departs one at a time until it's just Jesus and the woman. After Jesus tells her to go live the life, to leave the life of sin, the next thing he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And this is the challenge we will face each and every day of our life. The darkness that's in our world, that's available to us. Our culture actually is quite comfortable with keeping acts of believing and following separate. It's actually socially acceptable to say that you believe in Jesus, but then live a life contrary to the life that Jesus asks us to live. Following has nothing to do with believing according to our culture. And when we do that, we're missing the mark, which is the exact definition of sin. Missing the mark. Saying that we believe and not living as though we do invites confusion and shadows in our lives, and it confuses those that we interact with, those we have relationships with, those in our community. And it's also impossible in God's eyes to believe without following. The two go hand in hand. It's both. The more we follow, the more we will believe. Likewise, though, the more we believe in something else, the more we're going to follow it. To believe and follow the light of Jesus is an invitation for us to discover who he is and what he does. And when we commit our lives to the practice of walking in the light of Jesus, of who he is and how he lived, we will find great clarity in our own life. Doesn't mean life's going to be easy. Doesn't mean it's always going to be real simple to follow the light of Jesus. But we can rest in the fact and the promise that it will come with clarity. We live in a dark world. But by God's grace, he has and he is redeeming it. I mean, if we're really honest, we've made a mess of his creation. And this world will remain in darkness. It'll just get darker until we decide as believers in Christ to begin to shine the light on the world that Jesus created and those that we interact with. But we can't shine the light of Jesus unless we're following that light in our own lives. We have to move toward the light and allow it to penetrate even the darkest places, the darkest parts of our heart, and the darkest places of our lives. We have to allow that light of Jesus to penetrate, to pour out into us, and then allow it to move through us, and then it can pour out from us. That happens when we stay focused, when we're fully present to the source of life, Jesus. But it will take us doing our part as well. The one example I can kind of give is the desire or the journey to be healthy. I'm sure we've all, or a lot of us, have tried that. Like, I want to be healthy. I want to make the right choices. I want to exercise. It takes discipline. It takes focus. It takes a community of people to encourage you, right? When we're putting our bodies into this journey, we're moving our bodies. We're worrying. We're thinking about all these things. It doesn't mean we're perfect, right? It doesn't mean that but it does mean we're making progress. It's not about the perfection. Every snack, every meal is a challenge. It's a choice. And there are lots of choices. And many of those easy choices aren't healthy choices. But that's how it goes. If we want to stay healthy, we remain in good shape, we stay on the journey. And as we make these decisions, and we make them, and they begin to stack on each other, we don't beat ourselves up when we trip up or make a mistake. We begin to see, we begin to feel changes. That typically then snowballs. We begin to see these decisions making a difference. We say, you know what, this is worth it. And actually then we become even more focused because we feel so much better. There are life-changing results in the health journey alone with healthy eating and exercise. And the same can be said with our spiritual journey, with our walk with Jesus, building that relationship, trusting Him, knowing His Word, listening to His Spirit. Again, this is why we do these activation ministry trainings. It's not just a, you know, some kind of fun little thing. They will be fun, but this is an equipping thing. The same can be said of that health journey with our spiritual journey. Which category would you explain your spiritual progress right now? Would you say, hey, you're committed and focused, or you're disengaged and distracted? If your life is on the wrong side of the dimmer switch, you can just simply take a step toward change. Flip the switch and scatter the darkness. Jesus prevents light for our path and grace for us to stay on track because He's always with us. And in giving Him giving us Himself, Jesus is offering us the light of the world, He said. He is the light of the world, and He offers that to us. Valleys and darkness are going to come in our lives, even those secure in their faith. Through the darkest hours and the deepest despairs, there is still the light of Christ. And darkness shudders at its impending future demise. It doesn't stand a chance. And Jesus wants to illuminate every one of our lives. He's confident enough to reveal the darkest corners of our lives, those that are in need of conviction, but kind enough to give us blue skies of support. So let's be wise enough to yield to the sunrise and welcome the light of the world, Jesus, into our life each and every day. That moment, that few minutes on the beach, and it doesn't take a long time. Once the sun begins to wake up, the sun rises pretty quick. You have to pay attention if you want to catch it. And the first peak over the ocean, you just barely see it. And then as it rises, before you know it, 15 minutes has gone by and it seems like the sun's really high in the sky. That's how it can be when we find ourselves in dark moments. We just invite the light of Christ into it. And He begins to shine it. He begins to chase away the darkness. It scatters because there's no such thing as darkness. It's just the absence of light. And so when you're in darkness, when you feel the shadows coming, you can call out to the one true light and it will flee from the light. That's who Jesus is. That's what He offers. I've been in some dark moments. I've been in some dark seasons. That's part of my story. I didn't like who I was. I tried to change myself. I couldn't do it on my own. It was only Christ. I can tell you who I was and who I became, and it was Jesus was the change agent. He was the light shiner. because I had tried everything else and it didn't work. And this is what Jesus offers each and every one of us, each and every day. Grab your Connect cards that Jeff talked about, and if you haven't done so, please fill out your name or whatever you're comfortable with. I'm going to offer you some next steps. You can drop this in the offering when it goes by in just a few minutes. We believe God has a next step for you. You may have a different next step. I just encourage you to write that down and drop it in the offering as well. The first one is this. Maybe today's the day you invite that light into your life, that light of Jesus to illuminate your path, the path you need to be on. Maybe it's just asking him, hey, God, I feel like I'm living in the shadows or I'm in darkness. And he will come by the power of his Holy Spirit and illuminate those things. He will forgive us of those things. The second is our memory verse. This is our second memory verse of the year. We do one every quarter. And we've been pushing in. You've heard already a lot about prayer. We have a room dedicated in our new expansion called a prayer room. And that's exactly, we're really excited about that. You're going to hear more about that in the coming weeks. It's almost ready, where we have a dream and a hope where people are going to spend time together, maybe individually. It's a retreat space where you can go and sit and pray. We'll have resources available to you. You can listen to music. We want to just continue to push into prayer. It's our conversation with Christ. It's all it is. It's a conversation. We're asking for his heavenly resources to come here on earth. And so our memory verse is, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. It's a great reminder. Not just that you have to get up early. That's not what this is about. It's about that solitary. It's about that consistent conversation, meeting place with his heavenly Father. And that's what we encourage you to do, is to be consistent in your prayer life. The third is the application. Allow the light of Jesus to penetrate our lives, to remain focused on the light, and allow it to shine through each and every one of us. We have to first invite that light into our lives. And sometimes it's scary. Maybe we're hiding some things from Jesus. We're trying to keep it in the dark, in those corners. He already knows. He's already shown the light in there. He shined the light in those areas. We might as well just ask him, God, will you shine the light in the places, those dark places? Maybe ask yourself, what's preventing me from just talking to Jesus about those dark places in my life? And just watch what he can do through the power of repentance, the power of forgiveness, the power of the conversation, inviting him into those places. He won't force his way into them. But when we invite that light into our lives, the work he can do is life-changing. And the last one is also, as already alluded to, is receive prayer. You can do that lots of different ways here at Blue Ash Community Church. You can write it on your Connect card and drop it in the offering. You can email us at prayer@blueashcc.com. Or what I think is the best way when you're here in person is to come up and receive prayer. They'll be up here with these black walls, my right and my left. Be honored to pray for anything. Maybe it's a healing. Maybe it's a challenge in your life. Maybe it's some dark places that you're trying to keep hidden. You don't have to necessarily say what those are. You can just simply say, there's some dark things in my life that I have not been honest with Jesus about. Maybe it's a celebration. Maybe it's a praise. Whatever it is, be honored to pray for whatever's going on in your life. We're going to go ahead and receive our offering. If you want to drop any offering that you have and your Connect cards in there, we would appreciate it. In just a few minutes, we're going to have some kids join us. We do this once a month. And if you're a parent of one of those kids and you would like to take communion with your child, we encourage you to do this. I think it's powerful. Actually, a quick little story. Before we planted or launched Blue Ash Community Church, our launch team would visit different churches, and our friends at North Star happened to be one of those. And they do communion almost every Sunday, much like we do, because we've modeled the way we do it to the way they've done it, because it was so powerful for me as a husband, as a dad, to come up and take communion as a family. As a pastor, I don't get that privilege to do that a lot. And it was so powerful. I was like, we have to do this.
we have to offer communion. We have to give away for couples, for siblings, for friends, for small groups, for families to come around and remember what Jesus has done. And this is an opportunity to do that. You can take your kids in the back corners. You can come up here and grab them. However you want to navigate that as siblings or parents or grandparents is up to you. And don't feel pressure to do it either. But this is an opportunity for you to do that. So if you have your communion elements, I want to grab those. I'll just remind us of what this is. It's a reminder of what Jesus has done. That his body was broken and his blood was shed. We celebrated his victory last week, but we try to do that each and every week here. And when we do this, we're just reminded what he suffered, what he endured, but what he defeated. That the light defeated the darkness. And his spirit that rose him from the dead is alive and well in each and every one of us that call him Lord and Savior. I'm going to pray and feel free to worship how you feel like you want to express it, sitting or standing. And if you want to go grab your kiddos, by all means, please do so. God, thanks. Thanks that you are the light of the world, that no matter how dark our day feels, no matter how long that season's been, the moment your light shines, the darkness flees. It's just not there anymore. If we were to turn off all the lights in this room and it'd be completely dark, the second we respond and hit the light switch, there's no more darkness. We're able to see. So God, come right now by the power of your Holy Spirit. Illuminate the areas that we've hidden from you. Cleanse us. Light our path. In Jesus' name, amen. You're free to sit or stand.